Welcome to Medicine Trails, A Life in Many Worlds, a lively account of Maidavis McCovey, a Karuk medicine woman. Our excerpts are read by her niece, Florine McCovey. This episode is titled, It's Hard to Be Psychic.
It's Hard to Be Psychic. I was 6 years old, and when we had only been back in Orleans for a short time, when my father needed to have a procedure on his lung that had to be done in Eureka, my mother didn't want me to stay at home because I had a bad cold and I would be fussy. But my aunt said that since I had a cold, I really shouldn't go out in the rain with them and be in the cold car. So my mother finally left me with her. My aunt was very clairvoyant, and she told me later that she did not feel like her sister was going to come back from that trip. I didn't think she was going to come back either. I don't know if it was childishness or my gifts or why, but I didn't think she was going to come back. So my parents went to Eureka and stayed overnight with my father's mother, who lived nearby in Blue Lake. The next morning, they got up early and started driving home. My mother always drove. They made it as far as Willow Creek and then somehow drove off into the Trinity River in my grandpa's brand new 1939 Plymouth. Because of the nature of roads along the rivers in this country, deaths from accidents have taken a real toll on us from the time cars first came on the river. Between the limitations of the roads, cliffs, rock slides, and ice, driving can be very dangerous at the best of times. And if speed, alcohol, or bad luck are thrown in, it is a lethal combination. Hardly a year passes without a death by automobile accident, and unfortunately, the deaths often happen several at a time, even with single vehicles. Because once you go in the river or are thrown from a car in this country, a person is lucky to survive. I don't know how I knew, but I knew they were not coming back. I wouldn't accept that my mother was gone for quite a while because I kept seeing her. And I didn't know that what I was seeing was where she was, where her body was. After they died, I didn't learn much in the rest of the first grade. My teacher said that I daydreamed too much. My thought on it was that I was just insane. I feel like I was insane there for about 2.5 years after my parents were killed, but finally, I started to learn in school again. I kept seeing her at the place on the Trinity River called Sugar Bowl. They were looking everywhere on the river for her body and dragging for her. But I knew that she was at Sugar Bowl. She was on this mountain across the river from Sugar Bowl, and I kept thinking she was lost there. I just kept seeing this place on the river that is about 3/4 of a mile long, and I knew she was there somewhere. After I got older and learned more about my powers, I realized that her body was probably in the Sugar Bowl area of the river, and that she was buried in the water someplace, and I could see that, but at the time, I didn't realize what it was. I just thought she was really alive in there, and they weren't finding her. That bothered me for quite a number of years. It's really hard to be somewhat psychic. Later on, I realized that I could see where bodies were if someone asked me to, and with my own family, I didn't need to be asked. But if other families asked me to, I could see where the bodies are. The thing is to interpret what you see. I have had it happen thousands of times, and I still don't know for sure if it's real because it's so vague. The thing that happens isn't vague, but the way it comes to me is and has to be interpreted. Sometimes it just comes out of my mouth, but I know it wasn't my thought. It wasn't me talking. Because I didn't know about what I was going to say until I said it. I have no thought on a subject, and all of a sudden I know something about it. Like when a woman died down at Bluff Creek, Leif Hillman brought the drowned woman's husband to me and asked me to use my powers to look for his wife, and he paid me to look for her. In my vision, I saw her cross the creek on a bridge using a flashlight. She went up the hill and fell down, and I could see the light rolling on the pavement. Then she went down and picked up the light and then started back towards her car. Then I saw her sliding down the hill and slide into the water and kind of laugh a little bit and then get scared. And then the current took her and she was gone. After I told them my vision, Long Gone and Leaf and Sunny Buck went down to Bluff Creek to look. I told Long Gone he should go up on a trail to a high spot, and then he should look down from that high spot, and she would be in the water, right underneath where he would be standing. I told them the last place I'd seen her was there behind a rock. If she wasn't there, then she'd been washed out into the Klamath River. Long Gone did as I said, and was bending down to look into the creek, and got vertigo so bad that he sat down. He thought he had seen something, but then he couldn't see it. And he looked and looked, but he couldn't see it again. He said that when he was bent over, leaning forwards, and got vertigo, he remembered me telling him to be careful because if he started sliding there, he would slide clear down to Bluff Creek because all of that rock is rotten shale and nothing would hold him. Long Gone said that when he was leaning over, he thought he saw something, but after that he thought it must have been just a stick or a rock because he couldn't see it again. Then 8 or 9 months later, a fisherman spotted her body there, caught under the overhang behind that rock where I had last seen her go in my vision. But then the water was higher when Long Gone was there, and she may have just been laying beneath the surface when he was looking for her. I didn't know where she went. I thought that since she was in the water, she had to go to the river. But the voices kept telling me she was in Bluff Creek. She's right there at that slide where she went into the water. And that's where they found her. She was on a bench in the creek under the slide, hidden from view, on a little shelf behind a rock underneath an overhang. In my visions, all the clues are there, but it's murky, and I'm not smart enough to follow them, or it's not meant to be. Another time, my sister-in-law drowned in the Trinity River, and before she died, I felt I was in someone's body, and I thought it was my sister-in-law. In my vision, I was in the back seat of a car that was going fast, and I was getting scared. Then the car went flying off into an abyss. I didn't know who else was in the car, but I went on down with the car, and in the vision, I never hit bottom. I don't know if she died before the car went into the river, but she was washed out of the car. My brother-in-law kept going to the cops and asking if there was any report on these people who had disappeared. And the cops told them that there was no report, and that they were just off drunk someplace. He told them that his son did not stay away that long, and if he is going to stay away, he would have phoned him. The cops never once said that they had been chasing a car in that area, and it disappeared. When my brother-in-law had the car pulled out, she was not in it, and the Trinity River is awfully swift there. I was over in Redding when this happened, around 1978 or 1979. And in the middle of the night, this vision comes, and it's my sister-in-law just calling me, and she says, "I'm right here. I'm stuck right here." And then I saw her stuck in some fir roots out of the water, and there are willow trees hanging over the water. I didn't know if it was on the Trinity or the Klamath. I just knew that she was telling me that was where she was. They were looking for her when I came back over to Orleans, and I described for them the place that I had seen her. I told him that I knew that was where she was supposed to be, but I couldn't tell if it was on the Klamath or on the Trinity River. They found the car, and they found the bodies of my nephew and his girlfriend, who had been thrown out of the car before it went into the river, but they never found my sister-in-law. The vision gift doesn't bother me as much as it used to. As you get older, I guess your power wanes, so you don't have this constant interference. When I was younger, and this is awful, I used to wish that this damn thing would quit interfering with my life. Isn't that terrible? I don't want God interfering with my life. I want to live my life without him throwing all these other things into it. So when we have impressions, it isn't all drawn out like you see a woman wearing a white dress. You don't have a full picture, just impressions. It's like the profilers that detectives get to help them sometimes. People who are somewhat psychic. And they may see something white. And when they get there, it's a body of a woman wearing a white dress. They see those things the way I do. It isn't a full picture, it's just a hint.
Listen again to Medicine Trails. Our next excerpt is called Childhood Lessons. Medicine Trails, A Life in Many Worlds, The Stories of Mavis McCovey, was produced by KIDE-FM for National Native American Heritage Month with the permission of Mavis McCovey, John Sotler, and Heyday Books, Berkeley, California. Our music melody by Dr. Kashan Laura Cooper. Hey, yeah, hey, yo, hey, yeah, hey, yo.